Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth.
Chapter 133 of Psalm. Psalm 133. Three verses. Psalm 133. This is applicable to every Christian, no matter the denomination. Now, we've about denominationalized Christ right out the building. Everybody thinks their little party's got it going on best. And I'm just going to tell you, I think we're all going to be sadly mistaken when we get to heaven. There's no names over the door. Psalm 133 says this: Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life evermore. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night and this time and all the songs, the prayer. Lord, what we felt in our heart, it's just been a joy to be at church again tonight. You've blessed us to be here. Help us, Lord, not take this lightly. Take it for granted how you've blessed us to be in the house of God. I'm asking you to fill my mouth and guard my tongue. Help me be accurate in the scripture. Bring you glory in everything it's said and done. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory for it all. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Now, this is a song of degrees of David. The word degrees here, if its heading is in your Bible, it literally means to move up higher. It means to be in a certain place. But when you see that attached, degrees of David, that word degrees means literally to move up higher. So we're coming. Some think they sang this when they were on the ascent, going up into the temple for the sacrifice, and they would sing this psalm as they rose up. Now, when they're singing this psalm, it would do this. It would be necessary that they be in unity. I don't have a title for this tonight other than Psalm 133, but I want to share a thing or two with you here. So pretty sure this is a degree or a song of degree, a song of inclining of David. He wants you to go up higher. But that something, if you think about this, and I looked in my chronological Bible there to try to put this in, and I don't know, they had it kind of in the point of where Solomon was building a temple. Well, I don't, maybe they sung it. Maybe David wrote it. Are you with me? Are we singing songs today that was written some time back? Sure we are. So maybe that was it. David had it laying on the shelf, and as they would be, once the temple was built, once they would rise up, go up higher to offer sacrifice in the temple, maybe somebody said, hey, this is a real good song. But David said this about it. Listen to this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me tell you, that's a problem. That's from the beginning of this book. When one brother killed another, there's not been a whole lot of unity. When David wrote this psalm, David was king in Hebron, and then David was king, and a lot of trouble transpired there. Then David's king in Jerusalem, So there was no unity even at the beginning of David's reign as king. The kingdom was divided. When you go, if we go back to Abraham, he and Lot had a falling out over some of their workers that they had there together, their herdmen. So from that time, there's been dissension. There's been disunity, if you would, from Abraham to today. There's not much unity. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I want you to search your heart tonight and ask in your own immediate family, is there unity? You know what the Bible said? There should be unity. But people that's not right with God, and even those of us who claim to be right with God, have problem with others who claim to be right with God. And how can we have unity if they're right and we're wrong, or we're right and they're wrong, and we can't get together? We can't get our heads together. We can't settle on this. What is it about the Church of God that don't like the Baptists or the Pentecostals, that don't want to hang with the Methodists or whatever their denominational boundaries might be? Yeah, I'll tell you what it's done. It's separated. It has caused disunity in the body of Christ. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's only one body. You're either in the body of Christ or you are not in his body. So, if we're in the body, I'm just going to tell you, this hand does not want to hurt this one. I'm a little ambidextrous in some things. I'm mostly left-handed. But I can just, whichever hand picks up the hammer is the one I drive the nail with. It don't matter. Now, I throw a ball with my left hand, but I'm bad on either side. I never could play golf because I couldn't decide which side I wanted to drive from. But I'm not going to do one thing with this side to hurt this side, because if this side hurts as well. So, the Lord's saying, David's writing this song, he said, I'm telling you, it's pleasant when the brethren dwell together in unity. Now, I thought she was going to read my verse tonight. I'm going to read out of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I thought, Dennis, you're going to read my verse. It would have been all right. Repeats are necessary in the Word of God. Do you understand that? There's never been anybody ever picked this book up and read it one time and said, I'm done. I had a guy said that one time. I read that book. I said, son, you need to read her again. Now watch this. Paul said, and I'm not disrupting, we'll read this again next Sunday night. Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse chapter 4 of Ephesians, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That, you know what that means? That means they do you wrong and you still love them. Listen to this. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring there means it takes effort to make it happen. So we have to put forth an effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, are you still with me? Let me find my other verse here. 13. Now, I'm not going to get into all the gifts and what God done. There's a lot of meat from verse 7 to verse 11 in that particular chapter, if you want to study something. For the perfecting, this is why he gave the gifts. for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the body, by the way, till we all come in the unity of the faith. I've never seen this before, Jimmy. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we are working, we are endeavoring to do this through these gifts, till we all come in the unity of the body of the faith. You know what that says? We ain't there. We're not there. We will be there when the Lord Jesus comes and sits on the rightful throne and rules with a rod of iron. Then we will be there. Till. But that doesn't give us an excuse not to try. We're to try, endeavor, put forth the effort to make it happen. And we're to do it till he comes and makes it all perfect. You still with me? Wouldn't that be pleasant? Won't it be a good thing when pride dies? I mean, when pride takes a header, boom, done. Because then contention, according to the Bible, that's where all contention lies, is in pride. Then contention, you know where we'll be? We'll be in unity. Oh, you're not looking too happy. This is good stuff. This is how we get in unity. We put forth the effort to do it in the bond of peace until. And David's saying, this is going, you know what David's saying? It's going to bring you up higher than where you are right now if you do this. You know what that means? The one that's been mean to you, you forgive them and love them. Now, he said we ought to live peaceably with all men as much as we could. That's what Paul said. So some's hard to live with. They're just hard to live with. So it doesn't mean that I got to take them coffee every day. But I can't hold an ought against them. And should they ask me for assistance, bear you one another's burdens. And what does that do, Brother Junior? Bearing one another's burdens fulfills the law, don't it? Yeah, that's what it does. So then, here we are. Now, what's this doing? It's bringing us up from where we are. It's taking us to a higher place. And it's good and it's pleasant. Verse number 2 says this. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. Now, what does all that mean? Well, 1 John 2:20 said, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know what that is? That's that pouring on. Now, he filled us up. He baptized us by his Spirit. He put us into the body of Christ by baptism of the Spirit. If you not have the baptism of the Spirit, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are A plus. You're none of his if you don't have it. How do you know that? As many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it's pretty obvious the Spirit of God's not going to lead you contrary to not being led by the Spirit if it's contrary to the book. You still with me? So here we have, it's like the precious ointment, like the unction. That's just in the Bible one time. One guy asked the old preacher, preacher asked someone in the congregation, said, do you know what the unction is? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know when somebody ain't got it. Mm-hmm. Why? It's like the precious ointment upon the head. If we go to, don't go turn there, you can look at it and you get home. If you go to Leviticus 8:12, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find Moses pouring this on Aaron's head. It's perfumed oil. It typifies the Holy Ghost. And is a pouring. And he started, And you know what he had on when he poured that on him? He had the priest garments on. He had all their garments. I mean, from the headgear all the way down. You know what he also had on? He had on the breastplate with the stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. So you know what that says? Unity, the bond of the Spirit. Remember that? Paul's telling us. He's explaining what takes place in Leviticus, because when he poured that on Aaron's head, it ran down his head, down his beard. You know what was under his beard? The placard, or the plate, if you would, the breastplate with all the 12 stones, and that oil come down off his head. So first it went to the head of the priest. Who's the high priest? A plus. So then it come from the head of the high priest. And you know what's in them? Them stones. You know what them stones were? Pictures of Israel. You know where the oil run? Ran all over every one of them. You know what that's saying? You know what's going to put you in the bond of peace? You know what's going to bring unity together? It's like the oil, the precious ointment that ran down Aaron's beard, even from his head. Roger Duncan preached from his head to his hands to the heels of his feet. It ran all over him, down the garments, through his skirts, across the stones. And it's saying this: that puts you in unity. The flesh will never. That's why we're not in unity. Capital F. L-E-S-H. Flesh. God's going to kill this thing one of these days. Praise God. So there we have the unity. It's all over him. It's all over. By the way, who came from the high place to the low place and ascended back to the high place? You know who this picture of. Now they had that picture there. Paul explains it in Ephesians, what that's talking about. But Jesus is ultimately the one who is, praise God. There's a lot in that. The sacrifice, I'm not going down that road. Let's go down that road. The sacrifice. You check the sacrifice out, and when the anointing come on Aaron, and then you look at when the anointing come on Jesus, and when the sacrifice, they're reversed. Bless God. He didn't need any blood put on anything on his behalf. Yeah. So here we have, in verse number one, we have the unity. Verse number two, we have the unction from the Holy One. According to John, we know that we have that if we be in the body of Christ. We have that. Now, sometimes we're not led by that like we should be. Oh, yeah. Halos. Gordon, halos. Detector. None. But in verse number three, and I'll be done. Verse number three is this. We have the unity, Brother Eldon. We have the unction given of God by God, and He is God. And we can't accomplish one thing without that. There'll never be unity apart from the Spirit of Christ. We've got to understand that. I think that's what's missing in a lot of churches today. Sometimes it's missing in this one. Because the Spirit will check us if we'll yield. So, well, the Spirit can do whatever He wants to, and He does. Why did Paul say don't quench Him? Because you can. Sure you can. So we have the unity. We have the unction. Verse number three, here's what we have. We have understanding. Understanding is going to bring you to a higher place than where you are right now. But you can only do it through the Spirit of God. And this is kind of in reverse here. It gives unity. He wrote this typically in reverse, because unity only comes after verse 2 and 3. Well, I'm not seeing understanding in this. Let me help us right here. As the dew of Hermon. According to Deuteronomy, dew is the word of God. Deuteronomy 32 and 2, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. In other words, his instruction shall drop as the rain. My speech, which means word, shall distill as the dew. That means that it drops to. To distill means to drip or to drop. He's, you know, what your grandpa had, and he had one of them steels out behind the barn. It would drip and drop. And I shouldn't have said that. Somebody's grandpa's a moonshiner, and now they're mad at me. As the dew of Hermon. And as the dew that descended. What did his word do? It descended. He became flesh. Are we with us? Descended up on the mountain of Zion. Who would that be? That'd be Jesus. It come from a high place. It came. Hermon's higher than Zion. Zion's about like the plateau right here, about 2,000 foot, about what Zion is, somewhere thereabout. The highest part of Hermon's 10,000 feet. A little bit of difference. The part that's in Israel is about 7,500 feet, somewhere thereabout. So you have the high place, and the dew come from the high place, and it fell on the lower place. And what that done, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, I'm stealing this from Mike Blanton. If you're watching, oh buddy, thank you. I appreciate it. We were in a meeting somewhere together, and he's preaching on Gideon. And he had a water bowl. He had water in a bowl. And he got to take, you never know what Blanton's going to do. He got to walking out among a congregation and putting his fingers in the water and flipping it on the people. He was sprinkling them down. But by the time God got through with this, everybody wanted a little drip. And here's why. So how this is formed, it's the word of God. So what happens is down in a dead, dry, hot place, the wind moves across that. It goes up. How many knows that heat rises? That's the reason Jeff's got the fans on, blow the heat back down on us. It goes up and it collects that life-giving fluid on top of that big mountain. And you know what it does? Circles back around and comes and drops it on the lower hill. Do you think it's a coincidence that that's the hill that Jesus is crucified on? I say no. I say it's a picture of this. God's word was in the beginning. It's the first thing in a chronological Bible. In the beginning was the word. And it's in a high place. Now God ultimately wants... God ultimately wants me where he is. But I'm not there yet. But I'm a-going there. But here's what he does. Down here in this hot, dry place, I need something that's going to help me along the way. And so it picks it up on Hermon in the high place and brings it down here to us, and that word drops on the grass of the morning. We walk outside and he just rains his dew, his word, all over us all the time. You know how I know that? The Bible. So we have unity, we have unction, we have understanding. And really, when we have understanding, we experience more unction. How do you know that? Because he said, be filled with the Spirit. We're in Ephesians again. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye, finish it, filled with the Spirit. Now, I wouldn't know that wasn't for the word. So we have the understanding. Tells me what I need. I need the unction of God. I need to be filled. I'm a mess. I'm just a train wreck waiting to happen somewhere apart from the Spirit of God. You are too, my sanctified friend. You are no better than anybody on God's earth today apart from you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And you know what that brings, Brother Brands? That'll bring unity. And that threefold cord is hard. It's hard to break that thing. According to the preacher of Ecclesiastes. It's hard to break that cord. So, here's what I know. Randall, you can come. I don't know what this, maybe this was just for instruction tonight. Because Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. So maybe this is just an instructional night. I don't know. I was so disappointed somebody wasn't saved today. It just disturbed me this morning. Somebody ought to have been saved. That should have moved. But tonight is just an instructional message. You might need to pray about something for somebody. You may not be in unity and need to pray about that. You may need to understand. You may just want to be filled. You ever ask him to fill you up? Just fill me up, Lord. Remember the old song? Here's my cup, Lord. Fill me up, Lord. Let's stand and sing tonight. If you need to pray, you're welcome to come.
Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.